This hour, the podcast is exclusively sponsored by my good friends at Advantage Gold. Advantage Gold is a five-star rated gold company with one-of-a-kind customer service. And when it comes to gold and precious metals, Advantage Gold is the only company I'll work with. Call Advantage Gold today and make sure you let them know that Mark Levin sent you. And now, let's begin.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin here. Our number 3818. What the hell is the number? 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. I have to admit to you, I'm beyond furious this evening. 80% of the American people support Israel. They support their efforts to defeat Hamas. Almost 90% of the Palestinians support Hamas in the slaughter of October 7th. A majority of young Democrats support Hamas. And the Biden administration supports Hamas. And it will not allow the Israelis to destroy it. That is the bottom line, all the static aside. Joe Biden is sold out to Iran because, in my view, Iran is withholding its nuclear breakout till after the election. Joe Biden paid the Iranians $6 billion for hostages. Joe Biden has allowed to flow into Iran over $100 billion, more money than has been sent to Ukraine. Iran killed three American, red-blooded American soldiers, and they didn't pay any price for it. None. You don't know this, but every day and every night, hundreds of missiles are being fired into Israel from Lebanon by Hezbollah. So even if Israel were to surrender to Hamas, who's going to stop that? Ladies and gentlemen, 76 years ago, Harry Truman recognized the state of Israel. And since then, Republican and Democrat administrations alike have supported that alliance without fail. Began to weaken under Obama, but even Obama dare not do what Biden is doing. And almost 6 months to the day after October 7th, here we are on October 4th, mark this date down in your calendar, that 76-year bond has been destroyed. Joe Biden is the only president since Truman forward to destroy that bond. People say, well, why is Israel any of our business? If Israel didn't exist, who do you think the target would be? the Iranians want to kill Secretary Pompeo, John Bolton, and others, and they've attempted to. The Iranians actually have a foothold in our hemisphere now, in Central America. Why? Because of Israel? Iran is building nuclear weapons on intercontinental ballistic missiles, intercontinental, to reach the United States. The Houthis are attacking American ships in the Red Sea. Iran has an ironclad alliance with China. It's providing China with oil that Donald Trump had cut off. It's providing Russia with drones. And there is an axis of evil with Iran, North Korea, Russia, and China. That's not an axis of evil against Israel. It's an axis of evil against us. How many more allies are we going to throw under the bus while our enemies get stronger and stronger and build better and better alliances? And how many more countries are going to want to be aligned with the United States under these circumstances? The most horrific things are now being said today, prior days, but today especially. Like a chorus of Jew-hating, anti-Semitic, Israel-hating Democrats. And let me be clear. This is the Democrat Party. This is the Democrat Party. Anthony Blinken is one of the most loathsome stomach crawlers on the face of the planet. And I want to remind everybody that it was Biden who ordered the drone attack. They killed an aid worker in Afghanistan and the 9 of his family members, 10 of them, including 7 children. And when that took place, he went to Rehoboth Beach. He didn't apologize. He didn't bend over backwards. Nobody said that better never happen again. And he unleashed holy hell as we were surrendering in Afghanistan. 13 U.S. servicemen murdered. God knows how many Americans are still there, if they're even alive. He doesn't care about human life. When Obama was president of the United States, he used drone attacks left and right. He was condemned by it, by human rights groups and leftists. And under the Obama-Biden administration, upwards of 800 civilians died as a result of drone attacks, including 3 American citizens. Nobody blamed the United States military. Nobody blamed Obama specifically. Nobody said this better never happen again. That attack in Yemen, multiple drones were launched and they hit a 3 or 4 car procession and blew them off the face of the earth. Our intel said that those were terrorists in there. But they weren't terrorists. It was a wedding party. A wedding party. And 27 innocent civilians in Yemen were killed. 27. In one attack. Did the Israelis or any of our allies get up and talk about the inhumanity of the United States? Did they? Where's the data? How many civilians in Gaza have been killed by Hamas? I'm looking. There's none. They don't provide any. How many aid workers have been killed by Hamas? We don't have any data. Biden and Blinken know that about 70% of the aid that goes into Gaza winds up with Hamas. Egypt won't open its borders so that people can leave and go into the Sinai Peninsula. And Iran keeps funneling weapons to Hamas. And Biden today demands a ceasefire Because the River to the Sea crowd, the River to the Sea crowd in the United States demands a ceasefire, which means Israel will surrender the way we surrendered in Afghanistan, but the result will be far worse than even what took place in Afghanistan. A ceasefire. When Hamas's top officials and the last four battalions are surrounded, a ceasefire. Look at all the incoming Israel's taking from the United States and from our media and the Democrat Party. Jake Tapper is a slimeball in the worst order. Dana Bash is a puke. Wolf Blitzer is a serial liar. Joe Scarborough has become a loathsome anti-Semite. The media are all in. Many of us have asked ourselves over the decades, how could a so-called civilized society like Germany, how could the people succumb to the hate? How could they succumb to the violence? Now, we're not the Third Reich, obviously. But we're not America before Joe Biden, either. America's changing. Not you and me. America is changing. It's not from the bottom up and the middle out. 80% of the American people support Israel. It's from the top down. It's from our government. It's from the State Department, the Defense Department, the CIA, and most of all from the White House. They're changing the direction of our country. And the stench of the 1930s is out there. The little Kristallnachts are taking place all over the United States. You have to actually go on the internet and read about it. They're not being reported on cable or network news. Synagogues, Jewish students, it's still going on. And when Biden speaks as he speaks, and this flunky Kirby speaks as he speaks, and this dangerous, good-for-nothing ideologue, this Iranian special pleader, Blinken, says the horrendous things that he says, they are fueling anti-Semitism, not just throughout the United States, but throughout the world. And they are giving aid and comfort to the Islamo-Nazi regime in Tehran. They're giving aid and comfort to Hamas and Hezbollah and the PLO and every damn terrorist organization on the face of the earth. That's what this administration is doing. They are taking hundreds of years built up in America of our moral superiority, that's right, of our moral strength, of our principles, and they're burning them to the ground. One administration, whether it's the border, whether it's trying to imprison Donald Trump, and now they're targeting the state of Israel. They are doing more damage to the state of Israel than Iran is doing today. I want you to listen to this. This is Antony Blinken at a news conference. It's not just any news conference. He's in Brussels, Belgium, with our NATO allies. And I want you to hear what he says in front of them and to the entire world. Cut 22, go.
Now, of course, what happened after October 7th could have ended immediately if Hamas had stopped hiding behind civilians, released the hostages, and put down its weapons.
This is a throwaway line, because Hamas is held to no standard whatsoever. And oddly enough, this guy's so sick, he says, because they're terrorists, we don't have to hold them to a standard. Excuse me? We don't expect anything from them. What? They're holding five American citizens, you bonehead. Go ahead.
But Israel is not Hamas. Israel is a democracy. Hamas, a terrorist organization. And democracies place the highest value on human life. Every human life.
That's not correct. This man is unfamiliar with World War II. He's unfamiliar with the Civil War. He's unfamiliar with World War I. He's unfamiliar with the Vietnam War. When you have an enemy, you're not sitting there thinking about human life. You must destroy your enemy. Your enemy is weaponized. Your enemy has attacked your own people. Your enemy is seeking to destroy. Look at the moral equivalence. He's creating a moral equivalence between free nations and the terrorists. He says, but we're not the terrorists like them. We care about every life. No, we don't. We want every terrorist rubbed out, removed from the face of the earth because they threaten us. We want criminals. We want them put in prison. Why? Because they threaten us. Go ahead.
It's been said, whoever saves a life saves the entire world.
What a stupid ass. Go ahead.
Our strength is what distinguishes us from terrorists like Hamas. If we lose that reverence for human life,
good Lord,
we risk becoming indistinguishable from those we confront.
Well, then you're a terrorist because you're funding Iran, you're funding Hamas, you're funding the Houthis, you're funding the PLO, you're funding Hezbollah. Then you, sir, are a terrorist, even worse. Through your policies in funding Iran, you're funding China with oil. They have 2.5 million Muslim Uyghurs in prison camps. You're responsible for that. You jerk, you're responsible for every death in Afghanistan as a result of what you did. And when you were Deputy Secretary of State, you were responsible for 800 civilian deaths as a result of drone attacks. So I guess you're the terrorist. You dumb. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Our once mighty dollars under siege from runaway inflation. For those still working, your paychecks buy less while costs for gas, food, cars, utilities skyrocket thanks to inflation. That's why I'm urging all my listeners to register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. It's a fantastic seminar. They'll teach you how to take steps to help guard your wealth from inflation using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver hold intrinsic value that should remain untouched by government manipulation. Folks, don't wait for the Fed's reckless policies to completely devalue the dollar and steal your life savings. Call now while free registration is open. I'm telling you, this is a fantastic seminar. Call 800-900-8000 right now. The Gold and Silver Summit could provide the vital insights we need to protect our families. 800-900-8000. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional. You need to understand what we're dealing with in the White House. Early in his career, he sided with the racists. The racists, the worst of the worst. Talmadge, Byrd, Stennis, Eastland. He wrote legislation to reject the integration of our public schools. He wrote legislation 20 years ago to target blacks and black communities on a crime bill. Joe Biden always needs a boogeyman. And it used to be the blacks, and now it's the Jews. The problem is, there are too many among my faith will vote Democrat and Biden right to the end, despite what's taking place in our own country in this whirlwind. They don't see it, they don't smell it, because they're blind. Attention, fellow Americans. Mark Levin here with a warning and a solution. I feel like our country's being destroyed by out-of-control spending and debt thanks to Biden and the American Marxists. And your hard-earned savings and retirement could be at risk from their socialist schemes. That's why you should consider Advantage Gold, the best of the best, a U.S.-based company that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their wealth. They have a simple solution to help you even potentially grow your wealth despite the attacks from Washington. I urge you to register for their upcoming Gold and Silver Summit. It's fabulous. A free online event where you'll learn tips to help safeguard your finances by diversifying into physical precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. Call them right now to sign up securely for this pivotal summit. It is crucial. Tell them Mark Levin sent you for a special bonus. Call 800-900-8000 right now. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Mark Levin, America's passionately cerebral voice. Talk with that voice now. 877-381-3811.
America has changed and is changing under the Biden regime, and that's the intention. It's Bernie Sanders' intention. That's the media intention, and they're succeeding. You understand, this tyranny is not limited. Tyranny's tyranny. And it's out of the box now. And as tyranny gets more aggressive, it moves into totalitarianism. And totalitarian regimes require a media, a mouthpiece, what we call a one-party or one-state media, and they have it. There's no question about it. Our buddy Rick Grinnell is with us, good friend of mine and my wife, good friend of the family and the country. Rick Grinnell, how are you, my friend?
Mark, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Rick, you saw what happened today. And so what's happened today, almost 6 months to the day that Israel was attacked, is now official United States policy is to turn on Israel. 76 years since Harry Truman, we've had pretty much bipartisan policy. And now it's over. And now we have a Secretary of State that is implying, if not specifically stating, that if Israel doesn't adhere to their demands to surrender right now, and a two-state solution and all the rest, that they're not much different than the terrorists in Hamas. This is essentially what Blinken said today. What do you make of this?
Yeah, look, it's really troublesome. We all know that Joe Biden is not calling the shots here. He's stumbling off stages. He's clearly not negotiating. We've learned recently that he hasn't spoken to Putin in 2 years. He hasn't spoken to President Xi in 2 years. This is a man, Joe Biden, that is just literally a shell of the presidency, and the people around him are calling the shots. So let's talk about that. That's Anthony Blinken and Jake Sullivan who are calling the shots. Now, both of them are not only incredibly weak, but they're also very left-wing and very academic. They don't know the real world. Jake Sullivan has literally written white papers about what to do, like an academic atmosphere, but doesn't know how to actually deal in the real world when there is real politics going on. So what I have a problem with is the sequencing here. Mark, you and I both know that what has happened 180 days ago was life-changing for anyone who supports Israel. And I put into that category the evangelical Christians of America. And we've watched as Israel was attacked. This was a music festival. These people were not even political. And they were hacked and raped. And now they're hostages. And we know that there are American hostages. So the only thing that we should be talking about are the return of hostages. All of the other conversations about, you know, Abbas, who was elected in 2005 to a five-year term, and he's now in his 18th year of his five-year term, and then now he turns over and says, I'm going to appoint this other guy to be the government, an unelected person. And then the United States welcomes this move as a representative government. There has been so many mistakes made from the White House and the State Department about not concentrating on the hostages, not going there. Why isn't the Secretary of State, who has his own plane, why isn't he not parked in Qatar on that plane and saying, I'm not leaving until I have the American hostages home? The American leadership is crucial. It's crucial to pressure the Arabs, the Israelis, the American public, everyone. I spent 8 years at the UN. Nothing works in the world unless there's American leadership. When there are Americans are not leading, there's chaos. And so we have seen for 180 days this lack of attention on the hostages and the hand-wringing from the academic community inside the Biden administration, to the point where now they are so frustrated over Michigan, and this is all about politics. They're so frustrated over Michigan and the people who are voting for none of the above on different ballots, that the political people at the White House have taken over from Jake Sullivan, and they said, look, we got to have a ceasefire, and we got to call for a ceasefire, because otherwise Detroit is not going to vote for us and we're going to lose. And so the entire strategy right now is a political ploy for Michigan. I actually believe, though, there are two points of why the Arabs are not going to vote for Joe Biden. One, Arabs, Israelis, evangelicals, we all know there wouldn't have been a war if Donald Trump were president. We all know that there was actual peace between Arabs and Israelis. And the second point is, how stupid are we to think that when you fund the radical regime in Tehran, that you're not going to get war? You're not going to get terrorism. You're not going to get belligerent individuals who deny someone's human rights on a daily basis. So the funding of the Iranian regime to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars in sanctions relief, cash, and credit is the sole responsible moment of October 7th and the chaos that we're seeing now. They did this on themselves. They funded the Iranian regime, and they put themselves in this position. So now the foreign policy academics have been pushed off to the side, and the political people running Michigan have taken over the strategy.
Mm-hmm. But in the case of Blinken, I think it's more ideological. You remember when McCain went to the floor and voted against him and actually filibustered his nomination for deputy secretary? He warned that this guy is going to get Americans killed. He called him dangerous. He's a NATO trashing Israel. He's basically comparing them to Hamas. I mean, this guy, who I don't think is that political, I just think he's so radical. And then he brings in this guy, Malley, who is a special pleader for Iran. They're going to have a nuclear weapon at some point. This guy, and here's my question to you. Why don't Republicans hold hearings and hold this guy accountable? They're allowing these guys to run foreign policy unchallenged.
Yeah. Look, I hope that your listeners know that Anthony Blinken's parents, Vera and Don Blinken, have given millions of dollars to George Soros and the Open Society. Matter of fact, the center that they opened with George Soros is called the Vera and Donald Blinken Open Society Archive.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know that. I didn't know that. How did I miss that?
It's outrageous. It's outrageous. And so this is, for Anthony Blinken, this is a left-wing strategy of taking over the State Department and putting his policies in place. Look, I could talk all day about the Balkans and what Anthony Blinken has done to the Conservative Party in Albania is shameful. No one pays attention to it, but he's put them under sanctions because they challenged the socialists that he loved.
Tell the nation a little bit, if you would. It was a really tear-jerk moment at the Shabbat dinner at CPAC where you came and my wife and you had become very, very close, and through her, we, about your mother, what your mother taught you and what your mother said.
Oh, yeah. Well,
tell the country.
In that moment, Mark, I had walked into Shabbat dinner and I had just spoken to my mom, who was not doing well, physically, and really there was a moment there that we really thought we were going to lose her. She was having heart failure and since has had multiple surgeries and is doing so much better. But at that Shabbat dinner, I was just reminded of my heritage as I was, standing there speaking about how I grew up, my Judeo-Christian values, and everything that my mother had given me. My mom has raised four kids to be evangelical Christians that are aggressively pro-Israel. And we understand the biblical absolutes of what it means to stand with Israel. And for my mom, it's funny because you can't really have a conversation with my mom without her talking about you know, what God has in store for Israel. It's always part of the conversation. And for us, we just look and we say, you know, there we must pray for the peace of Israel. This is a biblical mandate for all Christians. And what's happening there concerns my mother very deeply. She's not a highly political person, but she is a prayerful person who understands that this is a spiritual battle that's happening. And we have no choice as Christians but to be on the side of Israel.
And she taught you this, right? Pretty much?
My mom taught me this. Look, growing up, we didn't have a dishwasher. I was the dishwasher, the youngest of four kids. And I would stand at the sink with my mom, wash dishes. And there was a plaque above the sink that was in our faces for every night. And it said, pray for the peace of Israel. And my mom still has a plaque that says, pray for the peace of Israel in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And is you know, someone who talks about what's happening in the world. One of the greatest joys of her life was to go to Israel. She's been multiple times, but the first time she went was just electric for her to walk amongst the biblical stories. And she's taught this to not only her kids, but her grandkids and her great-grandchildren. And she's aggressive about it.
All right. Well, I think with today's activities and pronouncements throughout the Biden administration, that the relationship now between the United States and Israel has been almost destroyed by our government. And it's the same administration, Rick, that is destroying our electoral system, trying to put Donald Trump in prison. In other words, this is a very tyrannical party, a very tyrannical Biden, people around him. They really are trying to alter our nation in a very, very negative way, and they're succeeding right now, no?
Yeah, no, I do think they're succeeding. I mean, you look at, you know, when they weren't winning at the Supreme Court, they talked about adding Supreme Court justices. When they weren't winning in the states, they were talking about adding Puerto Rico and other states so that they could have more states and get elected. Now it's clear that the game is to let as many illegal immigrants into the country as possible and then permeate them throughout the country and work with blue states and blue cities to give them the ability to register to vote. Now, remember, they already have this scheme that if you're on the voter roll, you're going to have a mail-in ballot. And so when you get on the voter roll, you know, there can be an innocent bureaucrat who just simply says, oh, I didn't really check. I didn't know that the person was illegal on the voter roll. That whole strategy is gone because they just add people to the voter roll and then they turn around and send them a ballot. And then you get a ballot in the mail, and many states are saying that we don't really want you to have to sign these. We don't want a signature check. We're just going to take all of these ballots that come through. So it starts with crappy voter rolls, and it goes quickly into a whole bunch of people registered to vote that shouldn't be registered to vote, whether they're residency violators or they're dead or they're illegal, a whole bunch of reasons. But the Democrats know that flooding the market like this, overwhelming the system, is how they can have future voters. Now, mm-hmm. We've got to go after the voter rolls, Mark. This is the fight. And Tom Fenton's group did a great job in Los Angeles, where I live. They sued. We've helped them. And they have successfully gotten more than 1 million people off the voter rolls in Los Angeles County alone. That's pretty remarkable. Los mm-hmm. Angeles County is the largest county in America by far. If you could rig Los Angeles County, then the entire state and all the delegates go to the Democrats. But conversely, we're fighting hard. If we can clean up the voter rolls in Los Angeles County and register new conservatives in this county, you can change the entire landscape of America by Los Angeles County. And we are working hard here, and we are registering people to vote. I've got an organization called Fix California. I hope people will support it. You can go to fixcalifornia.com and see our work. but we are registering conservatives up and down California, and we're focused on L.A. County.
And where do people go if they want to help? Again, Mr. Producer, let's put it on all our social platforms.
Thank you very much. It's fixcalifornia.com.
Fixcalifornia.com. Rick, thanks so much. God bless you, my friend.
All the best, my friend. Great to talk to you.
You too. Always appreciate you. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
My fellow Americans, we're living in very perilous economic times. Washington seems determined to bankrupt our nation with endless stimulus spending. As they devalue our dollar, hardworking Americans like you could lose everything. That's why I urge you strongly, register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. They'll teach you how to help guard your wealth using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver can offer a defense against the dollar's devaluation, and the experts at Advantage Gold will explain how you can convert some of your savings into precious metals that can protect and potentially grow your wealth. With currency debasement from Washington and global uncertainty on the rise, gold and silver diversification can offer you some stability. Call 800-900-8000 right now to sign up. 800-900-8000 now. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. Listen to this from our friends at the Free Beacon, Chuck Ross. Hamas patron Qatar. Remember, Qatar funds Hamas and other terrorist operations. Qatar has spent billions to influence our colleges and universities, the River to the Sea crowd. And Qatar today has provided safe haven for the leaders of Hamas. You ready for this? Hamas is bankrolling a group building the Medal of Honor Memorial in Washington, D.C. The oil-rich Hamas ally has spent billions buying influence in the United States. In June, the group held a successful forum featuring two Medal of Honor recipients and former Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller. That December, Biden signed a law greenlighting the group's plan to construct a monument in the Shattered Lincoln Memorial, honoring America's greatest war heroes. The National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation enjoys broad bipartisan support. And the foundation lists the people of Qatar as one of its founder's circle donors, the highest rung of patrons. In reality, the money flows from the authoritarian Qatari government, controlled by the Tanai family dynasty. The Qatari embassy has pledged $5 million in all to the foundation, according to previously unreported documents submitted to Congress last year. And Qatar has spent $6 billion on lobbying and funding for American universities and think tanks. And this is consistent with Qatar's MO. Jonathan Schanzer, a senior vice president of research at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, said of their funding, "It's buyer beware. The National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation certainly isn't the first to take money from the Qataris, and they won't be led." This is a disgrace. So you actually have Medal of Honor winners. You've had people who have died fighting the terrorism that Qatar has funded. What a disgrace. What the hell is going on in Washington, D.C.? What a disgrace. And this foundation? Shut it the hell down. Replace it with patriots. I shall return. This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
There's not another radio host, I don't think. I hope I'm wrong. And certainly not another cable host who leads with an issue like I led with tonight. Let me tell you why. One of the reasons the New York Times in the 30s and 40s covered up the Holocaust. It was not only because they were taking orders from another Democrat, FDR, and Joe Biden hopes to outpace FDR in terms of destroying our economic system, but because, I'm just being honest with you, and I always am, people are afraid that you don't want to hear about this stuff. Or maybe you want to hear about it, but in hour three, or maybe at the end of a show or something like that. You want to hear about basketball, you want to hear about something, that you don't want to hear about this. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, this is where the rubber hits the road. We have an evil man in the Oval Office who's trying to put his political opponent in prison. We have an evil man in the Oval Office who won't secure the border and all the hell that comes from that. We have an evil man in the Oval Office who's destroying women's sports. We have an evil man in the Oval Office, and I can go on and on. And we have an evil man in the Oval Office who has just destroyed 76 years of a relationship with Israel. And you know what? It almost doesn't matter why. And maybe, amazingly, I didn't know that Blinken's parents gave a fortune to set up a Soros-linked foundation. Doesn't that kind of explain everything? I'll bet most of you didn't know, and but for Rick Grenell being on this program in the first hour, I wouldn't have known. These things are linked. You heard him. He's a born-again Christian, and that's how he was raised, and this is important. He doesn't want to see Israel eliminated. He doesn't want to see the Jewish people eviscerated. How can you be a president of the United States? You know you're creating a horrendously poisoned and cancerous environment in this country. How can you be Joe Scarborough or Jake Tapper or Wolf Blitzer, of all people, or any of these people? Mediaite, Media Matters, a leading Democrat, Chuck Schumer. How can you be these people? See what's happening in our country. See that you're gaslighting the haters. Because it doesn't stop with the Jews. Now they're into Christian nationalism. They've moved on to other groups. They're on the path here. And so now Christians and Jews are the enemy. If you have a tyrannical mindset, Elizabeth Warren keeps demanding, and she's not alone, 20 Democrat senators, Bernie Sanders, that even if Biden loses in November, he should issue a slew of executive orders to impose his will on the people who reject him. And we right now basically have government by presidential executive orders. We don't have legislation anymore, anything of the sort. So he's ruling like a dictator. And of course, dictators call their opponents dictators, but you get the point. Trying to put Trump in prison. Now, trying to take out Netanyahu. The two great democracies, Joe Biden is destroying them simultaneously. Destroying them. And so you need to pay attention to this. It's always the Jews first in these totalitarian regimes. They may be less aggressive than other totalitarian regimes, but it is. And then it spreads to the rest of the population. Then it spreads to people who maybe look differently or people who act differently or just people who disagree with the regime. If they can get away with it, it's one step on the ladder, the next step, the next step. I see it. I come behind this microphone as somebody who is thoroughly immersed in history. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Democracies collapse. They don't survive. That's the truth. Where's Athens? Where's Rome? They're gone. Rome lasted 1,000 years. We haven't even hit 300. Look at Europe. These aren't democracies. They're socialist regimes that play democracy. You have a tiny country in the Middle East surrounded by terrorists. That's the bottom line. Surrounded by terrorists. They were attacked. They're trying to wipe out the terrorists. And we have an administration now, I know, a Secretary of State with ties to the Soros groups. And he's anti-Israel, and he funds all these front groups trying to take out Israel. Now it all makes more sense. And I'm supposed to sit silently here, one of the biggest voices in America on the radio and on TV? No, I'm not going to. Here's the difference between me and most of the others, not all, most of the others on the national radio and TV scene. I have faith in you. I know you're smart. I know you want to hear the truth. I know you're not getting the truth. And that's why you tune into this program. Most of you listening aren't Jewish, but you're patriots. Who stands up for Christianity more than I do? Who stands up for faith more than I do? And links it to our founding? Nobody. Nobody. Who talks about it regularly? Me. I'm not patting myself on the head. What I'm saying is this. There's something wrong when we have so many microphones, so many cameras now that we never had before, where there's so few voices speaking out. Germany didn't have the history of what it was going to do, obviously. We have the history of what took place 80 years ago. We saw what the media did. The New York Times, the Washington Post, all of the broadcast platforms, such as they were, just like they are today, in sync with the administration, covering up what was taking place. They're covering it up today. They're using Hamas's numbers. They're lying about what the Israelis believe and what the Israelis do. They're lying through their teeth. Blinken's a liar. He's a traitor. He's a traitor. Biden is a hater. He's always been a racist and a bigot. Always. Always. I've talked about this. The black community, school choice. That's the biggest civil rights issue of our generation. Landmark Legal Foundation, where I was president, I'm now chairman. We've been fighting for school choice for 40 years. You know who's opposed us? The Democrats, except for one woman, Polly Williams. Bless her soul. A black state representative in the poorest area of Milwaukee. She was our client. She was our plaintiff. She was our complainant. Up against the NAACP. Up against the ACLU. Up against the Wisconsin Education Association and the National Education Association. We litigated for years. We spent millions of dollars, and we won. And we won. We were in the Supreme Court of Wisconsin multiple times. We went to the U.S. Supreme Court twice, and we won. I don't care about people's color or faith. What's right is right. Joe Biden stands in the door. He's the modern day Orville Faubus. He does not want little black kids going to private schools, parochial schools, or other schools. He wants them in those schools where the teachers' union pays them back with contributions and support on election day. That's what he wants. And that's what he gets. And now he's decided, okay, I got support from the Jews. I'll get their vote. This is how the man thinks. He's sick. But I need the Arab and the Muslim vote, and they're turning on me because, well, they support too many of them. And I showed you the survey. 70% in America of Muslims. Yes. And he needs that vote. He figures he's got the black vote, so he'll stand in the schoolhouse doors. Figure he's got the Jewish vote, so no big deal. He'll just blame Netanyahu, Netanyahu, Netanyahu. Well, he's screwing Israel, but he's got to get that vote, the river to the sea vote. That's the truth. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N. Senator Tim Scott is a little under the weather, so I want to thank him for joining us. I've become a huge fan of this man, both personally and professionally, and I'm glad I've gotten to know him a little bit. Senator Scott, you're the ranking member of the Banking Committee in the Senate, and you're very concerned. In fact, you're befuddled by something that the Biden administration has done here. Tell us about it, sir.
Well, it befuddles me, Mark, and thank you so much for your kind comments, but it befuddles me that this administration refuses to use the sanctions regime that is in place to stop Iran from having billions of additional dollars to continue to foment the greatest scourge on our planet today, which is genocide against our Jewish brothers and sisters and the outright attack on Israel. For this administration to give more money, billions of dollars, so that more of our Jewish allies find themselves in harm's way, boggles my mind and frustrates my soul and raises my temperature. Because the one thing America should always be is loyal to our allies and lethal to our enemies. And Mark, I gotta tell you, I do not understand a single thing coming out of this administration, from the abstention in the UN Security Council to taking advantage of this poor, devastating mistake to now releasing billions of dollars to the largest funder of terrorism in the entire Middle East. I can't understand it, Mark.
Senator, you saw the events today where I think the administration has really taken a big machete and stabbed the state of Israel in the back. You know, they keep attacking Netanyahu, but it's not Netanyahu. They want Israel to surrender to Hamas. They say nothing of Hezbollah, which is firing hundreds of rockets down on the country. You make the point that they're literally funding Iran, that's funding terrorism. Why in the world would an American administration be funding Iran, arming Iran, funding terrorism, and attacking Israel?
I tell you what, they've lost their minds because they're losing their voters. This is about political positioning. This is about political leverage. This is about politics, pure and simple. This is not about standing strong with our allies. It's not about doing the right thing. It's not about understanding history. It's simply about politics. Mark, hear me clearly. The left, they have lost their minds because they're losing their voters. They will do anything to shore up the support in the Arab communities in America. They will do anything to present socialism into the minority communities. They'll do anything to starve free markets and capitalism. But here's the worst of it all. In the midst of a war, for the President of the United States to suggest to our greatest ally in the Middle East, and perhaps the greatest one we have on the planet, that we will take away our resources. We will do anything that compromises their ability to finish this war as quickly as possible, only jeopardizes more innocent lives. Mm-hmm. And for Chuck Schumer to stand on the floor of the Senate and call for regime change is election interference in Israel. Can you imagine a Republican on the Senate floor? Can you imagine a Republican in the White House making the same comments about other allies, more favorable groups of people? Can you imagine what that would look like? I can't, because it would never, ever stand. But our national media is too often an extension of the DNC.
You know, Senator, apparently Biden warned Israel today that either it immediately agrees to a ceasefire or arms to Israel are going to be affected. It was blackmail. It was an absolute threat.
Yes.
And, of course, it's not Netanyahu. The people of Israel want Hamas destroyed. Why doesn't Joe Biden want the leadership of Hamas destroyed? Is he too tight with Qatar? What is his deal?
Listen, here's what we know. In order to finish this war, you have to destroy them, period. And here's how you do it. You eliminate the actual threat that is contiguous with the borders of your country. That is Hamas. It means you go into every place where their leadership is in the Middle East. It means that you make it clear that this will never happen again. And the only way to do that is to send a clear signal by the total decimation of Hamas. But in order to accomplish that, you need your allies standing shoulder to shoulder. And here's what Rahm Emanuel said several years ago. Never waste a crisis. I think we all are in pain and are so saddened by the unfortunate mistake of hitting workers. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we know, however. We know without question. Netanyahu took responsibility on day one. Joe Biden would never do that. Netanyahu said it was an absolute mistake. We know he's a man of his word. But instead of remembering our own history in just 2021, when we mistakenly had a missile strike that killed 10 people, America did that. Mm-hmm. Instead of remembering our own recent history and knowing that mistakes happen in the midst of battles, instead of standing shoulder to shoulder, instead of standing there with Netanyahu, we allowed daylight between the countries. And here's what I believe it's all about, though. I truly believe it's about politics. And more importantly, the Democrats' new philosophical disposition is to actually try to decimate overrepresented minorities in our country. That would be Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the rallying cry. There is something insidious in the left's approach to this concept of overrepresented minorities. They target the very people who have supported as a part of the foundation of the party. They're targeting mm-hmm. a part of their own base. And this is a philosophy that is pervasive, but is also cancerous.
Senator, I want to hold you over. We have a hard break. I know you're not feeling well. I really appreciate it. But the pearls of wisdom, I just want to hold you one more segment. We'll be right back with Senator Tim Scott. Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin, LEVIN.
This is the show the New York Times is afraid of. Mark Levin, call in now at 877-381-3811.
Senator Tim Scott, Joe Biden says he's very worried about civilians. We have 100,000 people dying a year from fentanyl flowing over an open border pushed by the communist Chinese through the drug cartels. We have the greatest level of slavery going on our border since the end of the Civil War with these open borders. Sex slaves, child slave, labor slavery, and Biden doesn't give a damn. In fact, his policies encourage it. We have Americans who are left behind in Afghanistan. We still don't know how many. We don't know what's happened to them, as well as our allies there. He says he's concerned about the welfare of citizens. Haiti has exploded. There are far more people in Haiti. The country has completely unraveled. People are starving to death and being murdered in the streets, and they don't say a damn word about it. And, of course, the terrorists in the Middle East are so busy killing Muslims, he doesn't talk about that either. What do you make of this?
Well, there's nothing to make of it. Let me just say this. You cannot hear Mark Levin and say the man is not speaking the truth. You cannot hear Mark Levin and say the man is making points that we wish we would hear on every single channel in America. You cannot listen to Mark Levin tonight and not conclude that a 10 million person invasion across our southern border is actually devastating every county in America. You cannot hear what you just said, Mark, and not come to the conclusion that 100,000 Americans losing their lives to fentanyl coming across our southern border and through ports of entry is, in fact, a bloodbath, and the blood that is flowing is American blood. Mm-hmm. And it can be prevented. Hey, Mark, you cannot hear what you just said and not realize that in the last several months, we've seen a 6,000-person increase, a 6,000% increase in Chinese nationals coming across our southern border. And why are they coming? I believe that we have sleeper cells in this country that want to kill Americans because of this administration. And you cannot hear what you just said and not remember that October the 7th was the beginning of the most recent Jewish genocide in global history, brought to the borders of Israel, broken through the borders of Israel by Hamas. I only have to ask your question, your listeners, one question, Mark. If you could identify the people who are willing to rape, behead, and burn your kids, do you eliminate that group? Mm-hmm. Every single strong person in the country listening to your amazing voice, the fastest way to save lives is to end those. And I hate to say it, Mark, but it's that simple. If you know the enemy will take you out, take them out first. If America, Joe Biden, wants to help end the suffering, give Israel our full support so we have the fastest, let me say it in a more professional way, the most expeditious conclusion of this conflict. That's what we need. But Mark, there's no one in the White House. There's no one at the DNC. There's no one in the liberal elite that can articulate clearly the devastation happening in America and to our allies in the Middle East. And I'm specifically talking about Israel because of the weakness of Joe Biden.
Beautifully put, Senator. This issue about, you mentioned that under Biden, the last drone strike in Afghanistan killed 10 innocent people, including an aid worker, his 9 family members, 7 of whom were children, and he went off to Rehoboth Beach. you know, his favorite place after that happened. And, of course, under Obama, the statistics are horrendous. Almost 800 non-combatant innocent citizens were killed with his drone wars, including three Americans. And you might remember, Senator, back in Yemen, we shot a few drones at a procession of three or four vehicles. It turned out it was a wedding procession and blew out that entire family. You remember that? I don't remember people attacking our military. I don't remember people throwing down the gauntlet, said this is horrible. Don't ever do it again. Do you?
No, Mark, here's the double standard supported by so much of our national media that blinds the eyes and closes the ears of good people across this country. You cannot have a president who can hide in a closet while running for re-election and have the respect of the American people. That's why he's literally losing votes in every corner of the country, every demographic of the country, and both genders of this country. Because literally, Mark, the greatest travesty we've seen in 50 years is happening because Joe Biden is too weak to be our president and should never have been commander-in-chief of the greatest military on the planet. It's that
Senator,
simple, Mark. That
Senator,
simple.
Can you tell me why people like Nikki Haley and Chris Christie and Mike Pence, seeing what's going on under this regime, seeing what's happening to the rule of law, despite all the propaganda against Trump, see what's happening, the horrendous state, the anarchy on our border, the inhumanity, see how he's destroying our relationship with Israel and funding Iran. I mean, she was the UN ambassador, for crying out loud. Mike Pence is a big supporter of Israel. Christie, I don't know where he stands. Wouldn't you feel that they should at least be compelled now, finally, to say, I support Donald Trump? What is their problem?
Let me tell you what, I'll speak to all three of my friends. Listen, guys, listen, young lady, listen, people, listen, leaders. Our country must have new leadership. We were not only better off under Donald Trump, all three of the names you just mentioned prospered because of Donald Trump.
So true.
They are good people, but good people make bad decisions, and not supporting Trump might be one of the worst decisions you can make with our country. Is at a fork in the road. One way leads to socialism, devastation, chaos. The other leads to a world filled with peace, borders that are closed, every demographic with low unemployment, and the nation with low inflation. With a nation that respects the men and women in blue, and every single person in the military has the resources and the equipment they need. And every American can achieve their version of the American dream. If you work for it, you can achieve it. That road requires Donald Trump. I'll speak to my three friends. Please come off of the sidelines and think of America first. It honestly is an easy decision. I'm asking every good red-blooded American, Republican, Democrat, independent, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, male and female, if you were better off under Donald Trump, you need to vote for him. But don't just vote for him. Call your neighbors. Talk to the relatives you don't talk to anymore.
Yeah.
Meet some new friends and get them out to the polls. Because America's next 100 years starts at the beginning of this next administration. And we need a century of American leadership in the military space. We need a century of American military leadership and leadership in artificial intelligence. We need a leader called America in free markets and capitalism. We need a leader called America in innovation and research and development. That won't happen with a socialist America. Mark,
no,
let me just close with this.
Yes, sir.
As a poor kid growing up in the Deep South, black kid, single mom, wondering if America would live up to the notion that we were given our rights by God, inalienable rights, and that we all had the chance to pursue our dreams. I got to tell you, 58 years later, America's answered the call. Our country has said yes. Mm-hmm. I wanted to say yes for the next 58 years, for the next Mark Levin's Jewish kids in America. I wanted to say yes on every college campus. Every Jewish kid should be able to go to the college of their choice and be able to sit in the library without fear or without intimidation. I want every child, white kids in rural America or black kids in inner cities, to be proud of the red, white, and blue, Mark. Mm-hmm. I want us to stand for the flag and kneel before God. That takes a new president.
Beautiful, Senator. Get over your cold. I bet you're very good, even when you're cold. All right. Thank you, and God bless you, my friend. We appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
All right. Be well.
Thanks for what you do.
Amen to him. Just fantastic. Next hour, we have another fantastic man, Tom Cotton. I don't normally have three guests on one show. In fact, it's extraordinarily rare. But I want you to hear from these people. I want you to hear from people who are in public office or public people who have their heads screwed on properly and see that there are choices we make here in this country. If you vote for Joe Biden, you're voting for George Soros. Because Blinken now, and I'm going to delve into this, trust me, big time, is a George Soros lapdog. That explains a lot. That explains his hate for the state of Israel. He'll throwaway lines about Hamas. Those are throwaway lines. That explains his special pleader status for Iran. That explains his desire to chop up the state of Israel into pieces. George Soros has funded organizations that promote this sort of thing, J Street and so forth, many of which are Jewish, as Blinken is. It doesn't matter what the faith is. You're either good or you're not. And it explains a ton about what's going on in the State Department. It's reminiscent of what took place under Franklin Roosevelt. That's what's going on. His parents, multimillionaires, as Rick Rinnell told us, who created their own Soros-linked foundation. It's named after them. And there's more. This man became a multimillionaire in a 3 or 4 year period after he left as Deputy Secretary of State, and then he came back with Biden. It's been very controversial, the conflicts of interest, representing foreign governments or organizations that fronted for foreign governments. Very, very important. And I found a piece by the great Miranda Devine about how he was doing Soros' bidding as Secretary of State just a couple of years ago to oust the pro-American conservative president of Albania, who ran for office and defeated the communist. And while George Soros supported that to a point, he wanted to control the country, according to this president. And so what did Blinken do? He publicly smeared the man. He called him a crook and corrupt. Undermined his presidency just the way they're undermining Benjamin Netanyahu, probably also at the behest of George Soros. This is why I do this show. Any idiot can look on a website and tell you the news of the day. This is why I do this show. You now have more information, I do myself, than you did before you listened to the program. And it helps to explain things. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin, LEVIN.
You know, it's amazing. John Fetterman puts out a tweet today, 4 hours ago. He basically says Israel's defending itself. What's he say here, Mr. Producer? Oh, hold on. It's just sent to me by my wife here. Fetterman says, in this war against Hamas, no conditions for Israel. Period. It's the way Democrats used to think. It's the way Americans used to think. And so we want to give credit to John Fetterman, who on more and more issues, not all obviously, he's a liberal, but more and more issues, he's been quite good. I mean, he's better than Blinken. He's better than Biden. He's better than 98% of the Democrats in Congress on like two or three major issues. And so it's important to encourage Democrats when they do that sort of thing, because they're coming under a lot of attack when they don't toe the line, because that's the nature of a Marxist agenda. When we come back, in addition to the great Senator Tom Cotton, before we get to him, I want to help expose more about this tie between Soros and Blinken and what they did to the conservative president of Albania, who was an ally of the United States under the George W. Bush administration, the great Miranda Devine's column a few years back. Because now I'm digging, baby. Now I'm going to find the skeletons. And also, questions of conflicts of interest. How is it that Blinken, after leaving the Obama administration as deputy secretary, in a few years' time became worth over $10 million? I'll be right back. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in America with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, much, much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. My wife Julie and I decided it was time to add more flowering trees to our landscape, and Fast Growing Tree was a great resource for us. A large selection and no hassle ordering or shipping. This spring they have the best deals online, up to half off on selected plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code Levin at checkout. LEVIN. Now that's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code Levin. Levin at checkout. FastGrowingTrees.com, code LEVIN. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Please visit FastGrowingTrees.com for details.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. I want you to know who's running our foreign policy. This is very important. And we learn more and more as time goes on. Back in February 2022, the great Miranda Devine in the New York Post. Listen to this. You're really going to want to hear this. As if Secretary of State Antony Blinken weren't embroiled in enough foreign debacles, he now stands accused of meddling in Albanian elections, just like he's meddling in Israeli politics, on behalf of billionaire financier George Soros, and is being sued for defamation in an international court as a result. One of Blinken's curious first actions on taking office last year was to sanction the former president and prime minister of Albania, Sali Berisha, the anti-communist ally of Presidents George H.W. and George W. Bush, who has been in opposition for 8 years and who is a vocal opponent of Soros and his Open Society Foundations, which has been pushing judicial and electoral so-called reform in Albania. See, Soros is doing the same thing in Israel against Netanyahu and his judicial reforms. In an official statement and accompanying tweet last April, Blinken alleged that Berisha is, quote-unquote, corrupt and had, quote, undermined democracy in Albania, unquote, and barred him, his wife, and two children from entering the United States. Now, he's used that same tactic against Jews who live in Judea and Samaria. Same tactic. Berisha strenuously denies the allegations, is outraged that Blinken never provided any proof, claims the U.S. government is trying to prop up the socialist Albanian government of Soros' ally, Prime Minister Edi Rama, and has launched a defamation action against the secretary in a Paris court. Last year, the Correctional Tribunal of Paris agreed to hear the case. Now, same thing that they're doing in Israel, trying to take out Netanyahu and replace him with Gantz or one of Soros' preferred puppets. That's exactly what they're doing. And Alex Soros, the son of George Soros, is repeatedly in the White House, repeatedly. And I bet he's repeatedly at the State Department, too. I don't know that for a fact, but why wouldn't he be? Quote, never in my life was I accused by a person or an institution of corruption, Berisha said on the phone from Albania, capital of Tirana. The opposite was true. I worked very closely with the United States government in fighting corruption. He says the sanctions are retaliation for his attempt to declare Soros persona non grata in Albania after he grew concerned at the malign influence of Soros' Open Society Foundations on his country. Quote, I've never had a personal problem with George Soros. The problem is, first he helped Albania to have civil society, and I was thankful. But in a short time, it became crystal clear that he was creating a monastic model of civil society. The Soros group dictated everything. So we have now a justice system totally controlled by the government. The heads of judiciary institutions in violation of constitutional laws are, for the moment, former communist prosecutors. Berisha, cardiologist, who led the movement to topple Albania's communist dictatorship, served as the first non-communist president of Albania from 1992 and later as its prime minister and opposition leader. You see how Blinken's always on the wrong side? He's on the side of Hamas now and Iran, even though he throws out the lip service. What they did is horrible. But U.S. representative at the time, Lee Zeldin, smells a rat. He's demanded three times that Blinken provide evidence to back up his corruption allegations against Berisha. During a House Foreign Affairs Committee meeting last June, Zeldin said the move came seriously out of nowhere. Zeldin said Berisha was also known to be an aggressive opponent of George Soros. I'm quoting, what specific information can you share with the committee at this time to justify this dramatic move? Matt Palumbo claims in his new book, The Man Behind the Curtain, Inside the Secret Network of George Soros, that Blinken has family ties to Soros. He points to the fact that the Secretary of State's father, Donald Blinken, the former U.S. ambassador to Hungary, and his wife, Vera, funded the Vera and Donald Blinken Open Society Archives at the Central European University in Budapest, which was founded and funded by Soros. You believe this, Mr. Producer? Palumbo also cites a Soros Foundation Network report from 2002 in which Donald Blinken is listed on the Board of Trustees for the university with Soros as its chairman. After Antony Blinken was confirmed as Secretary of State, Hungarian newspaper Magyar Nemzet called it great news for George Soros. This is why they hate Hungary. This is why they go after the president of Hungary, the Biden administration, and Blinken. The government of Hungary is a big supporter of the United States and a big supporter of the state of Israel. And the president of Hungary is trashed as a dictator by our administration and by his media in this country.
In November, Zeldin again wrote to Blinken demanding he justify his actions in Albania. This is now my third request for additional information since raising the issue of sanctioning Sali Berisha with Secretary Blinken during the June 7, 2021 House Foreign Affairs Committee hearing. Congress plays an important oversight role, he said. Blinken needs to come clean, writes Miranda. If he has evidence that Berisha is corrupt, he should make it public. Otherwise, America's reputation is damaged. Now, he doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about that at all. But what do you think of that, folks? Blinken is Soros's puppet. Soros hates the state of Israel. He wants a two-state solution. Soros funds radical left-wing organizations, constantly trashing Netanyahu and the current government in Israel. Soros believes that the Palestinians are an oppressed people and that the Israelis are the oppressors. I'm telling you, folks, Blinken's doing Soros' bidding. This whole realignment theory that was published in the Tablet about how they want to lower the military power and influence of Israel and raise Iran's to create a balance, a realignment in the Middle East. This is Soros. The words that you heard mouthed by Kirby today, he's a disgusting little grifter puke, that you heard from Kirby, that you heard from the idiot press secretary, that you heard from Biden in the transcripts that they released, that you heard from Blinken. These are all Soros' positions that are now being exercised at the highest level of our government. This is the man who virtually broke the British treasury. This is the man who's tried to take down the Albanian president or attacked him so he wouldn't become president again. This is the man who funds all these organizations in America trying to destroy Donald Trump and our economic system and our border. Anthony Blinken is his pawn. Anthony Blinken is his boy in the Department of State. And Blinken's parents. Blinken's parents. Donald Blinken was the former U.S. ambassador to Hungary, I guess under Obama. His wife, Vera, funded the Vera and Donald Blinken Open Society Archives at the Central European University in Budapest, founded and funded by Soros. So they were employees of Soros. If not outright, certainly volunteers. Donald Blinken is listed on the board of trustees of the university with Soros as chairman. Unbelievable. And of course, Soros is a Hungarian ethnic Jew. This is what's going on behind the scenes, in the shadows, ladies and gentlemen. You sit here and you scratch your head. What in the hell is going on here? What in the hell is going on here? That they do not want Netanyahu to succeed. They're trying to depose him. That they do not want the Israelis to destroy Hamas. Threatening to withhold American weapons. That they're demanding that Israel surrender Judea and Samaria to Palestinian terrorists in the PLO founded by Arafat. That all these conditions, all these demands, the exploitation of an accident that occurred in the midst of war, which Obama and Biden did over and over and over again without apologies. This is a massive campaign, propaganda campaign, influence operation. That's what it is. And what you see in the streets with the River to the Sea crowd, what you see with the Marxists in our universities, what you see taking place all around us, Soros, the Hamas network, Qatar, and the others are funding all of it. And Joe Biden needs their money. He needs Soros. He needs his son. He needs it all. And so what if he has to destroy two countries to get reelected? I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
It's a pleasure to have our friend Senator Tom Cotton on. Senator Cotton, when Anthony Blinken was nominated by Barack Obama to be Deputy Secretary of State, McCain did something he almost never did. He went to the Senate floor and he filibustered it. He said he was a very dangerous man. He was going to get Americans killed. And McCain was right, wasn't he?
Well, Mark, I don't remember that, but it sounds like something John McCain would do. And in this case, yeah. John McCain was right. I mean, what Anthony Blinken said recently, that if Israel doesn't change its ways, it's going to be indistinguishable from Hamas, is just morally appalling. Obviously, the difference between Hamas and Israel, to paraphrase what Bill Buckley used to say about the difference between America and communists, is the difference between a man who pushes an old lady in front of a bus and one who pushes an old lady out of the way of an oncoming bus, and someone equivocates between them saying they both go around pushing old ladies. Hamas intentionally targets civilians, not just for murder, but for rape or burning children alive. Israel, unfortunately, in its war to destroy Hamas, has caused civilian casualties. Why? Because Hamas hides among civilians intentionally to be the ultimate and the genuine cause of those civilian casualties. And for Tony Blinken to equivocate between the two of those is just the height of moral obtuseness.
And, Senator, he's doing enormous damage in our country and outside. This language that he and Biden and others are using in this administration, it's lighting a fire to anti-Semitism that is spreading in this country. People are afraid to wear their yarmulkes or their Stars of David. Kids are afraid in their colleges and universities. The FBI director says hate crimes against Jews is way, way up. Does this administration not understand, or does it understand, what it is doing to the country?
Well, sometimes it seems they're just totally, totally clueless on anything, Mark. I mean, many people over the last few weeks have chalked up what Joe Biden and now Tony Blinken and others are doing based on crass electoral calculations, that the president is worried about losing the state of Michigan because they have a large number of Arab American and young progressive voters. I mean, Mark, it's sad to say that the best case scenario would be if it was just crass, cynical electoral considerations. What I'm afraid it is really just this administration and the people who populate it, the same people who populated the Obama administration, are using those electoral considerations as a pretext to finally take the actions they've always wanted to take towards Benjamin Netanyahu and towards the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything Senate Republicans can do about any of this? I mean, I feel like they're running foreign policy out of their back pocket, that there's no checks and balances. They're making decisions about a key ally and weapon systems, and they're funding Iran constantly. Is Congress not able to do anything about this?
Well, the initiative first would like, Mark, with the House, since we have the House and we can control what goes on the floor of the House. I think the House of Representatives has taken certain actions. The Biden administration, that puts the Biden administration on the back foot, whether it's trying to reimpose or enforce more vigorously sanctions against Iran or provide funding for Iran without at the same time providing funding to Hamas. But Senate Republicans are going to continue to highlight the grotesque moral equivalence that this administration is drawing between Israel, a vibrant democracy on the one hand, and Hamas, Iranian terrorist proxy on the other. Again, this is not a war started by Israel. The people of Israel didn't ask for this war. The Jewish people faced the worst massacre of Jews on October 7th that they had seen since the Holocaust. And it's not possible for them to live somehow in a modus vivendi with Hamas on their borders, and by the way, still holding dozens of their citizens as hostage, to include several Americans as hostage as well. So you can be sure that we, along, I'm confident, with House Republicans, will continue to highlight this and make President Biden face the political pressure for it. Because I know that, you know, he may see in the far left anti-Semitic fringe of his party a lot of outrage, but among normal Americans, Mark, out there in the rest of the country who are not obsessive on Twitter and Washington, D.C. and New York, They can't believe that Joe Biden is equivocating about Israel at all, because we are a very, very pro-Israel country.
You're from Arkansas. There's probably 17 Jews there. I'm just kidding. There's not a lot of Jews there. You're very focused on our national security, our defense structure. You're a combat veteran. You're really a remarkable individual. And yet this is something that has interest you and concern you. The people of Arkansas, I think you're talking about them, that they don't want anything to do with Hamas and terrorism and all the rest. And the people of Arkansas will back Israel. I mean, I'm looking at the surveys. 80% of the American people back Israel. But I'll bet that's not the case in Washington, D.C., in Los Angeles, and so forth, if you get my point.
Yeah, well, Mark, to your first point, one of my good Jewish friends and supporters and here in Arkansas once said that we have tens and tens of Jews all across the state.
That's right.
And I'll share, you know, just a story about my upbringing, you know, in small town Dardanelle, Arkansas. We did not have a synagogue there. It was probably the nearest one was either Little Rock or Fort Smith, depending on how traffic was that day. But we did have lots of other houses of worship. We had three Baptist churches, two Methodist churches, and a Presbyterian church for mixed marriages of Baptist and Methodist. But whatever your religious persuasion, and whatever your viewpoint or tradition, any decent, normal, God-fearing, law-abiding Americans can see there's clear right and wrong. There's good and evil. And Israel is on the side of right, and Hamas is on the side of evil. I mean, they raped women and then shot them in the head. They burned babies alive, Mark. This is not, again, not a war that Israel asked for, not a war that they would like to prosecute. They are doing it at great costs. They have lost several hundred soldiers. This is harming their economy because it's basically mobilized their entire population. But it's a war they have to fight, the same way we've had to fight wars like in World War II or after 9/11, to make sure that we don't suffer the same fate again. That's exactly what Israel is facing right now as well. And whatever your religious persuasion or tradition, normal Arkansans, normal Americans recognize that reality.
I'd like to hold you over for a short second segment, Senator. Just bear with us. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin, the thunder on the right. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
Senator Tom Cotton, let me ask you a question about Taiwan and China. What are we doing to help muscle up Taiwan against an inevitable invasion by communist China?
Well, not enough, Mark, and not fast enough either. I think despite the war going on with Israel right now against Hamas and in Ukraine, Taiwan is the most dangerous flashpoint in the world because it could lead to a direct confrontation between the world's two superpowers, the United States and communist China. The way to prevent that from happening is to make it clear to the Chinese communists that we have both the ability and the will to stop it from happening. We don't want a war over Taiwan. We want to prevent a war over Taiwan. And the fastest way to do that is, as you say, to muscle up Taiwan, to rapidly provide them the missiles and the sea mines and the air defenses that they need to make an invasion of Taiwan by communist China even harder than it already would be, just given geography and weather across the Taiwan Straits. Secondarily, we need to enhance our own defense posture, not just globally, but specifically geared towards fighting in the Western Pacific, what would be primarily a sea and air battle, making sure that we have the munitions along with the ships and the aircraft that are forward deployed in a safe way that is not vulnerable to massive Chinese first strikes. Only then can we be confident that we will maintain peaceful, stable status quo across the Taiwan Strait. If we don't do that, again, it could be a war of cataclysmic proportions.
And then we still have the nuclear issue with Iran. Are you aware of anything the Biden administration is doing to try to effectively prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon?
No, Mark, and it's not just the nuclear weapons that Iran is developing. It's the overall approach to Iran, which, as far as I can tell, Mark, hasn't changed a bit from October 6th of last year. We're still giving them billions of dollars in sanctions relief. We're still allowing them to sell over 1 million barrels of oil a day, mostly to China. We're still asking for their help to rein in their own terrorist proxies that are doing things like trying to shut down commerce in the Red Sea, which accounts for 1/8 of all global economic shipping. These are all things that we were doing before the October 7th atrocity against Israel and that we're still doing now. It's not just the nuclear program.
What do we do? I mean, we have an election, obviously, but between elections, when you have an administration that is basically funding an enemy that is not really supporting an ally like Taiwan, that is now turned on Israel after 76 years of a very close alliance, and is not properly funding our military. I mean, this is insanity, don't you think, Senator?
No, it's the height of insanity, and fortunately, we are very close to a presidential election. One thing that we can do with a new president and a new Congress is the type of irreversible actions that a future Democratic administration can't take along the lines of Joe Biden. So it's one thing to have Joe Biden or Tony Blinken out there saying things like Israel is going to be the moral equivalent of Gaza, or that we're going to start conditioning aid to Israel. It's another thing if we have already provided, say, Israel and Taiwan the weapons they need to defend themselves going forward in the future. Those are things that cannot be reversed. I'd liken it to our own chaotic southern border. Building a wall is not sufficient to secure our border, but it's a necessary step. And one reason it's necessary is it can't be reversed. It can't, you know, it's not just a policy that can be changed on day one of a Democratic administration. It's something that is done in the same way that providing Israel, for instance, the tankers it needs to conduct long-range strike missions, if that's necessary for the national security, those can't be recalled by a Democratic administration in the future. So I think it is a high priority, among many other high priorities, that we arm our allies to the teeth to deter these future wars, no matter who is president in another 4, 8, or 12 years.
Are you a little surprised that John Fetterman, who just seems to... He seems, not on most issues, but on a couple of issues when it comes to foreign policy, he's actually been better than most in his party, no?
It has been a pleasant surprise that John Fetterman has been so strong in support of Israel, even today with Joe Biden and Tony Blinken equivocating between Israel and Hamas. Fetterman, once again, was saying that we have to back Israel. They have to complete their war. They have to root out and destroy the final battalions of Hamas that are hiding out in Rafah, that we shouldn't be putting pressure on Israel. We should be putting pressure on Hamas. If they wanted to end the war, they could release the hostages and unconditionally surrender. Again, it's not necessarily what I expected from him. It's not indicative of a more conservative worldview in general, but it is welcome. And I will say it's a sharp contrast to what his counterpart from Pennsylvania, Bob Casey, is doing.
Disaster.
And the people of Pennsylvania will have a chance to render a verdict on Bob Casey later this year.
Bob Casey. By the way, have you ever heard him speak? Do you know what his voice sounds like?
I do. And look, I mean, personally, I like Bob just fine. But Bob is a down-the-line liberal when it comes to voting. He's not a very good representative for normal working Pennsylvanians.
His father, I'm from Pennsylvania, was actually fairly conservative. He'd been the auditor for years after years. He ran governor a few times, and then he finally won. He was very, very popular. In the Casey abortion decision, that was him. He was challenging, he was sued. He was very solid on that issue. And his son is just a different breed at all. But most people in Pennsylvania, as I say, they don't really know him. After all these years, know him. Yeah.
And his father was basically running a town on a rail by the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Made persona non grata over his somewhat moderate views, to give you a sense of where the Democratic Party is today.
When Chuck Schumer gave that speech on the floor of the Senate, were not just Republicans, but were many Democrats like shocked at that speech where he basically stabbed Israel in the back?
Mark, sadly, I don't think many of them were. I know that Chuck Schumer focused on Israeli elections, but I got to be honest with you. I don't think he's worried about Israeli elections, Mark. I think he's worried about American elections. Mm-hmm. And he knows that his party for too long has let this anti-Semitic faction fester and grow. and that now it's so large and so powerful within their own party that he thinks he has to placate it, as opposed to just denouncing it. And I think that's what you saw on the in the Senate when Chuck Schumer gave that speech, shockingly calling for new elections in a Democratic ally, is that he's trying to manage his own electoral coalition so he doesn't get blown out in these Senate elections. I don't know. If you ask me, I'd rather see new elections for the Senate in New York sooner than I'd see new elections in Israel.
That's a good point. Is he worried about retaining his leadership position if they don't hold on to the majority?
I don't know, Mark. To me, it doesn't really matter.
Is he worried about
Chuck Schumer, the next guy, as the leader?
Yeah. Is he worried about a primary challenge?
He just won re-election last cycle, but he wants to maintain his own majority. And they're on the, they're blade running. I mean, I think all of our incumbents are going to get reelected. We don't have many incumbents up for re-election this year. We're going to easily win West Virginia with Jim Justice now that Joe Manchin has retired. That puts us at a 50-50 Senate mark. So Chuck Schumer, to hold on to power, has to win Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin and Montana and Nevada and Arizona and now Maryland. And then he has to hope Joe Biden gets reelected. So I think he's terrified of losing power and losing the ability to railroad, multi-trillion dollar spending bills to the Senate. And he knows that they now have this, unfortunately, sizable and growing anti-Semitic faction in their party. And if they want to win in critical states where he's got incumbents up for re-election or Joe Biden needs to win, he has to take actions to placate them.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. Now, you're not up either. I mean, you just won a blowout election. I don't even know if you had an opponent, did you?
I had a libertarian opponent a few years back, but no, I'm not up for 2026, Mark.
Well, you're very much appreciated, not just in Arkansas, Senator, but the rest of the country, and we appreciate you very much. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Mark.
And thank you, too. He's a good man. Very good man. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Here's the Mark Levin proposal, and it would go this way. Hey, Qatar, tell your murderous bastard terrorists that you've been funding no more aid to Gaza unless they surrender unconditionally. That's what Harry Truman would say. That is what Harry Truman said to the Japanese to end World War II. They said no. And you know what happened? Now, I'm not recommending the atomic bomb. A Democrat, Harry Truman, dropped two, and he needed to. Because otherwise, we'd have lost another million men in that war. I know the left today doesn't care. They don't understand. They're punks. And they're little prepubescent morons at their various surrogate sites. They know nothing. Truman did what he needed to do. Netanyahu will do what he needs to do. And as far as Blinken goes, a Soros lapdog and front man. We cannot allow that man to get away. To get away with destroying allies, whether it's Albania or Israel or any country. And it's even worse, he's funding the enemy. That's a traitor. That's why I call Blinken a traitor. And Biden's a traitor too. And the Morning Joe, hey, Schmo. How come you never talk about this on your stupid show? You got every moron in the world coming on. Got that guy Douche. What's his name, Mr. Producer? Donnie Douche comes on. You got all kinds of fools coming on your show, Joe. Why don't you discuss the funding, the money that has been transferred to the Islamic regime in Iran that, Joe, slaughters gay people, slaughters young girls who won't cover their faces, slaughters anybody. Joe, why don't you do a story on that? Just one. Mika, I know you're the daughter of Brzezinski. I know what he was all about. But why not? And why not do a show on how Joe Biden is funding UNRWA, which is funding Hamas, by having other countries contribute to it? Joe, why don't you do that? Joe, have you mentioned that Hezbollah keeps shooting missiles into Israel? Why don't you ask him? Joe, why don't you talk about that? And next time you talk to Biden on the phone, why don't you ask those questions for us, since none of us are able to get to him and ask him anything? So the Levin peace proposal is quite simple. Qatar, we're going to take our base out of your country. You're not going to fund our Medal of Honor memorial. We're going to remove your investments in our country. You're taking over our colleges and universities, and you can get your little inbred ass out of the United States. That's number one. Number two, Qatar, we insist that you turn over to us the Hamas leadership that you're putting up in five-star hotels and protecting. Number three, Hamas, Israel's going to destroy you. In fact, we're going to encourage Israel to destroy you in the next 30 days to wipe you and your terrorists off the face of the earth. Oh, and if you surrender unconditionally, well, then we'll continue aid into Gaza. That's it. That's the Levin plan. God bless each and every one of you. See you soon.